Yeah, okay. While I look for a church to pastor, I work at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I mean, man comes to the auto parts store, strides right up to my counter, plops on this on my counter right there a bag of auto a tire chains. We don't give refunds on tire chains, but the man demanded his refund. You don't know him. I don't know him. But I vividly remember that he was Asian. And he has that accent that speaks English very well, except when you get mad. And then when you get angry, the English fluency kind of diminishes. I think you know the language paradigm. I know these people are all smiling. They know the language paradigm. Okay. The guy was not happy. I want to return this. I'm sorry, sir. We don't get refunds on tire chains. You take this back. I no use. You weren't there, but I suspect you understand the situation. It's not in the literal words, but it's in the tone of voice and in the body language that told me plenty. I referred this guy to another O'Reilly employee. He said that we don't get refunds on tire chains. He refers him to the assistant store manager. The assistant store manager comes out and says, I'm sorry, we don't get refunds on tire chains. He referred him to the store manager. The store manager is a veteran of this business. He knows everything about car parts and about the vision of O'Reilly Auto Parts Incorporated. Lynn knows that O'Reilly is just loaded with cash and that corporate cherishes customer service. We don't return tire chains, but as the store manager, Lynn can do whatever he wants. Does anyone have any questions about this scene? Because I'm going to ask you a question. Anyone have any questions? Yeah, I said I wasn't going to move too. Okay. Lynn comes out. The guy is really angry now. It's not company policy, but as a store manager, Lynn could give the guy money back. You don't know Lynn Branham, the store manager, but you know the O'Reilly company procedure, perspective, and wishes. Lynn, if anything, Lynn is not naive. Question. What does Lynn do? What does he do? Does he give him his money back? The blank Asian faces. Okay, if you were there, would you give him his money back? Would you? Would you give him his money back? Well, why would you give him his money back? Because it's becoming a scene, isn't it? It's already a scene in the auto parts store. That's not a lot of money. Just give him his money back. That's what the company wants. Does that make sense? So what does Lynn do? It makes sense. Give him his money back. Save us all this drama. What does Lynn do? Danny, hit it. He doesn't do it. He does not refund the guy. why does Lynn not refund the guy the money? It's not about money. Why does he not refund him the money? This message is about hard questions. This is December, and in the church calendar, this is Advent, the Advent season, the Advent of the coming of Christ. Many churches have sermon series that lead up to Christmas. And often one of the weeks, the theme for the sermon series is peace. Peace, in other words, is a Christmas theme. But for us, I believe, here at HOC4, there's an additional need for peace. I'll be using John chapter 8, starting with verse 1. This is the story of the adulterous woman who's brought before Jesus. The message today is, how do I find peace? The answer is that we find peace in Jesus. The woman caught in adultery found peace in Jesus. Many of us already knew that answer, so why not just end the sermon right here and go straight to communion? The answer is in the wording of the question. The question, where do I find peace, is more straightforward. Where we find peace is in Jesus. How do I find peace? Is a more nuanced question. How do I find peace? Is how do I find Jesus in my world that is stressed? How I find Jesus has to do with presence. In this story from John 8, we'll read about the presence of Jesus, and also of the scribes and the Pharisees, and also of this woman. We tend to focus in on Jesus. That's a good thing. But here, as I read these verses, focus in on the presence of the scribes and of the Pharisees and of the woman. We get a strong impression of that guy at the auto parts store. Try to get an impression of the people in this scene from John chapter 8. This is John chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 1. It's also up here. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked, "Women, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in this Christmas season, we sometimes get stressed because there is so much to do. And sometimes even our parents are already stressed, and that bleeds onto us. We pray that we find your peace this season. Show us your presence. Show us your peace This we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, in Jesus Christ. Amen. We can be angry, insistent, coercive, but often not peaceful. This sermon from John 8 was anything but peaceful. The scene from John 8 was anything but peaceful, at least as the scene starts. The presence of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can probably picture that body language there. Picture what the woman must have looked and felt like. She also has a powerful presence here. The guy at the auto parts store, did he have a presence? The guy at the auto parts store, you'll never meet him. I don't know who he is. The guy, he went over the store manager's head. He went directly to the district. He got his money back, I'm sure. The guy, you don't know, the guy. Is he poor? Is he poor? The guy at the auto parts store. Is he poor? No, he's not poor. Tire chains. Are tire chains a lot of money? No. This whole drama at the auto parts store, is it about money? It can't be about money. No. Is it about company policy? Is it about customer service? No. It's about that guy, his attitude and his presence. That's why Lynn didn't refund him his money. Here, John 8. Feel the attitude and the presence of the scribes and Pharisees, verses 2 through the first part of verse 6. Just feel what these guys must have been like in their presence. This is verses 2 through the first part of verse 6. I admit, I'm having problems because I don't have enough light here. Okay, when you get old, that's what you get. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women." Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. The teachers of the law are scribes. And notice the attitude of the scribes and Pharisees. They physically drag this woman before the feet of Jesus. If we were in the temple being taught by Jesus, and this drama unfolds before us, we would know exactly what the scribes and Pharisees were doing. We could probably surmise why this woman was being dragged in front of Jesus. We can feel the anger and the insistence and the coercion that's going on here. If we were watching, we would also be mortified for that woman. How do I find peace? There is no peace here. There may be less peace at home. If your home doesn't like our president-elect, there may be no peace because we have no time for politics because we have to get home and study for AP U.S. history final. And we don't like U.S. history. But we take it because we need a better GPA so we can get into Princeton. And in the stress, with a bitter attitude that we can sometimes see here in Saratoga, this same scene, only worse, is played out before the feet of Jesus. What does Jesus do? Look at the end of verse 6. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Jesus ignores them. If we were there, we would know that the scribes and Pharisees ask a hard question of Jesus, and we might think that Jesus is stumped. We might think that Jesus is rude. The scribes and the Pharisees get madder. Jesus allows us to be provoked. There is no peace here. The auto parts guy. The more guys he talked at, the madder he got. And the less peace all of us in the store had. If we want to sulk, feel sorry for ourselves, be bitter, angry, resentful, Jesus allows those emotions. Even if it isn't good for us or those who have to put up with us, Jesus allows us to be adamant as the scribes and Pharisees were. Look at verse 7. I'm at John chapter 8 now, verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." The scribes and Pharisees would not let this issue with the women go. Jesus replies, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." If we come to Jesus, Jesus is grace. Jesus is grace for the women and convicts us of our hypocrisy that we all have, especially when we're mad. Jesus offers a great answer. And we are tempted to look for peace in terms of great answers. It's as if these great answers are the correct choice on some spiritual SAT. The scribes and Pharisees cannot help but acknowledge that they are sinners, just like the woman caught in adultery. Look at verses 8 and 9. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. The scribes and Pharisees retreat, leaving the woman standing there. Take a closer look at verse 9. Until only Jesus was left. Wait a minute. From verse 2 we read that this scene occurs while Jesus is teaching in the temple. If we were there being taught by Jesus, and this drama with the scribes and Pharisee unfolds before us, are we going to bolt? No way. This is better than Judge Judy. We already know where the scribes and the Pharisees and this woman are coming from. Their body language, their presence is very clear. We want to see what Jesus is going to do. All the people from the temple are in this scene. But John writes here, in this circumstance, that only Jesus and the woman are there. why does John write in a way that discounts the presence of the temple people? I don't expect you to have that answer. Answer, because John is not writing for literary precision, but for theological insight. It is easy to simply preach that peace is found in Jesus, as the woman found. That's what I thought this passage was about until I read it more carefully and in the context of this church. Look at verse 10. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" The scribes and Pharisees have already retreated. The woman answers Jesus' question. But in 2016 America, there is a different answer that we have all heard. A different reply to Jesus' question. In our present society, filled with confrontation and lacking in peace, we would often hear a different reply to Jesus' question. A woman in 2016 in America could easily reply, "Has no one condemned me? Are you kidding? Where have you been? Didn't you see the lynch mob dragging me over here? You want condemning? That's condemning to the max." If we filter out the attitude, to some extent, could we once say that those exclamations are valid? I think we can see that point of view. If the woman responded to Jesus in this manner, there would be no peace. This response I made up. This response characterizes an aspect of our current society that longs for peace. How do I find peace? The woman of John 8 found peace. This woman, an adulterous sinner, humiliated in public, threatened by death with stoning, she finds peace. Where does she find peace? In Jesus. How does she find peace? With lots of onlookers looking around, this woman is alone with Jesus. She is focused on the presence of Jesus. How we find peace? Peace is in the presence of Jesus. The terrifying moments just earlier are gone. Look at verse 10 and her response in verse 11. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Peace is found in the presence of Jesus. Where the woman could have bellowed out this tirade, she instead replies to the question, "No one, sir. No one condemns her." After all she has recently been through, she has and will never forget, the horror of being singled out for this punishment. This woman says that no one condemns her. How can the woman caught in adultery say that? This woman finds peace in Jesus because she focuses only on her Lord and not on the people looking on, not on the scribes and the Pharisees, not on her own sin. Here the woman finds peace because she focuses in on the presence of Jesus. The person of Jesus forgives sin. The presence of Jesus allows us to no longer be burdened by our sins and to move on. This woman no longer sees the lynch mob because she is in the presence of Jesus. We find peace when we focus on the presence of Jesus. Jesus is not the answer to Bible trivia. The presence of Jesus in our lives of faith makes the franticness go away. How we find peace is not when we focus on the admissions percentages, but on Jesus, who will get us into a school that fits us. It's not the shallow recitation of the name of Jesus, but faith to live in the presence of Jesus, even when there are onlookers, even after we've been traumatized. How we find peace is when we focus on the presence of Jesus. Presence is huge. Consider the presence of the scribes and Pharisees. The woman was powerless before their presence. Consider the presence of the guy at the auto parts store. It's not about the change. It's not about, we agreed, it's not about the change. It's not about the money. It's not about company procedure. Not about the discretion of any store manager. That instance at my counter in the auto parts store was about the presence of that man. The presence of that man overwhelmed money, rules, exceptions, ethics, O'Reilly Auto Parts, common sense, and others around him. His presence was wrapped into getting his money back. There is no peace there. Presence is powerful. The presence of Jesus makes the scribes and Pharisees go away, makes the memory of their hatred go away, makes onlookers and whoever thought and whoever felt, whatever felt previously, they all go away. The presence of Jesus gives us patience when mom nags. The presence of Jesus gives us a faith that controls our resentment, our sarcasm, our tone of voice when we reply to mom. The person of Jesus saves us. The presence of Jesus allows us to move beyond stress and to move ahead. The person of the guy at the auto parts store, he gets his money back. The presence of that guy turns everybody off, and he does not. Where we find peace is in the person of Jesus. How we find peace is in the presence of our Lord. The person of Jesus assures us that we will get a college education. The presence of our Lord assures us that though we have to work, we don't have to stress about getting into a school that fits us. How do I find peace? I find peace when I focus on the presence of Jesus. When people post hurtful remarks about my posting on Facebook, when I forget an assignment, when someone else gets a better grade because he cheated. We find peace when we focus in on the presence of Jesus. Just ask the woman caught in adultery. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our world, we often do not find peace. Later today may become a stress. Lord, we ask that you make your presence known, seen and felt in our lives. We pray for a faith that takes the time to experience your presence. Lord, we are so busy with school, extracurriculars, and church. Christmas adds to the list of things we have to get done. Lord, help us see your presence in this hectic and stressful time. Like the woman caught in adultery, let us see not the tension around us, but let us see your presence that gives us peace. Remind us that true peace comes only from your presence. Give us your presence. Give us your peace. This we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, in Christ Jesus. Amen.